From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his 10th message in a series expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is From Gloom to Glory. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Hatton Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Avoid That Slip. The text is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. That is to say, if we follow the ways of wisdom and holiness, we shall be preserved in them. He who travels by daylight along the highway is under some protection. There is a way for every man, namely his own proper calling in life. And if we devoutly walk therein in the fear of God, he will preserve us from evil. We may not travel luxuriously, but we shall walk safely. We may not be able to run like young men, but we shall be able to walk like good men. Our greatest danger lies in ourselves. Our feeble foot is so sadly apt to stumble. Let us ask for more moral strength, that our tendency to slip may be overcome. Some stumble because they do not see the stone in the way. Divine grace enables us to perceive sin, and so to avoid it. Let us plead this promise, and trust in Him who upholds His chosen. Alas, our worst peril is our own carelessness. But against this the Lord Jesus has put us on our guard, saying, Watch and pray. Oh, for grace to walk this day without a single stumble. It is not enough that we do not actually fall. Our cry should be that we may not make the smallest slip with our feet, but may at the last adore Him who is able to keep us from stumbling.
Mountaintop, we have gleaned so many things. We've been drawn closer to His heart, a place that trial brings. We have seen victory over sin and witnessed answered prayer. We have known Christ be our only strength, found His word a jewel. Endure, guard your ears, guard your eyes, pressing onward to the prize, lest you fall, lest you fail, make your love for Christ prevail. Now from your mountaintop to your
heart with Keep it clean, keep it pure. Make your love for Christ endure. Guard your ears, guard your eyes, pressing onward to the prize. Lest you fall, lest you fail, make your love for Christ prevail. Keep your heart,
keep your heart,
keep your heart, keep your heart.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he brings the next portion of an exposition of the first part of verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? At the outset, Dr. Cairns explained that this passage is regarded by commentators as one of the most difficult portions of the Old Testament. Many would interpret these words as referring to Christ being taken to die. Yet, as Dr. Cairns has shown, most of the greatest Bible expositors, including John Calvin and Martin Luther, view this part of the verse as a statement of Christ's resurrection and victory. And in expounding the passage, Dr. Cairns is following that line of interpretation, speaking first of Christ the prisoner, and then of Christ the conqueror. Now to continue this message entitled, From Gloom to Glory, here is Dr. Cairns.
As a prisoner, Christ was subject to a trial and to judgment. Now the trial was just a cruel mockery of a trial. It flew in the face of all Jewish law. It flew in the face of all Roman law. It was a cruel mockery of a trial. It was unheard of for a Roman governor serving in a regime that prided itself in its adherence to legality. It was unheard of for a Roman governor to say, I find no fault at all in this prisoner. And then to scourge him, and then to give him forth to his enemies to be put to death. It was a cruel mockery of a trial. It was a crime unparalleled in all the history of humanity. But you know, when you look at Christ the prisoner, remember what you are seeing. What you have before you there is the verdict of humanity, both Jewish and Gentile, on the Son of God. The Jews have suffered in many parts of Europe tremendous persecution as they have been called Christ killers. If you read any of the history of Russia, in the days before the Russian Revolution, not that life has got any better since then, but before then, you will find that the Cossacks very often came through like wild hordes, and they would just round up whatever Jews they could get, they would put them to the sword, as they cried, Christ killers! You'll find in Nazi Germany, and in Poland, again, Jews were rounded up, they were thrown into ghettos, they were brutally treated. And the reason for it was, they were Christ killers. By the way, you will understand from that why Jewish evangelism is so difficult. You will understand from that why the Jews hate the idea of missionaries in the land of Israel. Because remember, as far as they're concerned, their forebears put to death by the fathers of these very missionaries because they were Christ killers. Remember, however, that it wasn't only Jews who killed Christ, it was Gentiles. And here you have the verdict of all humanity. And as you stand there seeing Christ the prisoner finally led out to the place of execution, you have some sobering truths. You first of all will have to understand that here we see the deep depravity of man. We often hear of sinners in the hands of an angry God. That was the sermon title of one of the greatest evangelistic sermons ever preached in America by the great Jonathan Edwards, a sermon that has led to thousands being saved and revival after revival. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. What we have here is the Son of God in the hands of angry sinners. Nowhere is human wickedness more apparent. Here you will see man's heart against God. Here you will see man's religion against God. This was a religious act to put him to the death. Here you will see man's legal system against God. The depravity of the human heart. But over against that, you can see the infinite goodness and the patience of the Lord. This follows on very naturally from the fact that he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He stood like a sheep dumb before her shearers. When you think that the one who holds the world in his hand that day was held in the hand of sinners, when you think that the one who held the life breath of every man, woman, and child there in his grasp meekly went along as they tortured his body, as they mocked him, as they drew the blood from his veins, as they nailed him to a cross, and as they finally put him to death, you will understand the tremendous patience and goodness of the Son of God. But this is not just history. We've been making a mistake to see their depravity and Christ's patience and goodness exercised toward them. We're making a mistake if we lock it up in the past. Men and women, when we stand in spirit at Calvary, we are not talking about their depravity. We're talking about your depravity, my depravity. We're talking about Christ's goodness and Christ's patience to you and to me. After all, is it not true that many of you are in this meeting this morning and your hearts are just as hard and fast set against Christ as ever those Jews were? Is it not true that you in your heart and soul are still saying, away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us? Is it not true that you are pulling with all your effort and all your might to frustrate the grace of God and to deny the claims of Jesus Christ upon your heart and upon your life? Are you not among those who would still, to use Paul's language, put him to an open shame? Tell me, does the Lord Jesus Christ not continue to deal with the same patience with you? He holds your breath in his hand. There is no reason at all for you to live another second except the sovereign will and goodness of God and his Christ. It's the only reason. You do not live because you're healthy. You do not continue in life because all the processes of your body are working fine. You do not continue to live because of diet and because of exercise programs. Now you can get into those things as much as you like and feel a lot better probably for it. But I want to tell you, you live because of the sovereign kindness, goodness, and will of God. And I tell you this, it stands as a constant monument to the patience and the goodness of God in Christ that he continues to deal with men and women and young people who are flying in his face, who are rebelling, who are kicking over the traces, who are wanting to dismiss Christ from their lives, who are wanting their own way, who have religion but not redemption, who will want their philosophy but not God's truth, who will say, I will go my way and let God put up with it. Oh, the goodness of the living God who holds your breath in his hand and who's still patiently treating with you in grace. Let me say, my friend, that you should be very, very careful. The patience and the goodness of God lead you to repentance.
They're calculated to give you time. They're calculated to give you pause for thought. They're calculated to bring you to your knees. They're calculated to get you to Christ. That's the reason for God's patience and long-suffering. That's why He's let you live so long. That's why He's given you the gospel as you've lived. That's why He's given you the Bible. That's why He has you once again this day under the sound of the gospel. He's calculating this as His gracious invitation to get you to Christ. Be careful that you do not go beyond the line of no return. Christ, the prisoner. But thank God, the text is not mainly about Christ the prisoner, but rather Christ the conqueror. Read the words again. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? First of all, He was delivered from all oppression. He was taken. It's the same word as when God took Enoch. The same word as when God took Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. It is this word which says He took him out of oppression. He took him out of judgment. He took him out from that ultimate expression of oppression and judgment, namely the grave. In other words, the story of Christ does not end with the cross and with death. It goes on to resurrection. And it goes on to exaltation. So the first note in the text then is Christ the Lord is risen indeed. That's why we read in Matthew chapter 28. God took him out. They went to the grave. That's where he had been led. He had been brought a dead corpse, put in the grave. That was prison and judgment. But when they got there to the grave, what did they hear? They heard the angel say, He is not here, He is risen. He had been taken by the hand of God right out of all oppression. He had been taken right out of all judgment. And ultimately, He had been taken out of the grave. So the first thing is, He was delivered from all oppression. The second truth is that He lives forever. Notice the words, who shall declare His generation? Now, that is the key to the whole text. Think of the words and ask yourself, what do they mean? And I don't think I'll be far wrong if I tell you, I believe that 99% of the congregation will have a blank mind when they try to say, what does that mean? Those words are so simple. But we don't know what to mean. At least at first glance. Who shall declare His generation? Some of the early fathers said, well, that's His eternal generation as the Son of God. Well, I believe in the eternal generation of the Son, the eternal sonship of Christ, but that's not what it's talking about. That's far afield. Chrysostom, the great preacher from very early church days, Chrysostom, the golden mouth, preached in this, and he said, this is the virgin birth of Christ. Again, I believe in the virgin birth of Christ, but believe me, I don't think there's any evidence that that's what Isaiah was talking about in this particular passage. What does it mean then? The word generation is the key here. And if you establish what this part means, then you establish what the rest of the verse means. And that's why I said the first part speaks of resurrection. Because this word generation is either literal or metaphorical. Or a slight mixture of both. Most modern commentators take it to be metaphorical. And they say, as to His generation, that is His contemporaries, regarding these contemporaries, who among them shall declare that He was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken? Sounds good and simple, but it's not really true. That's more or less, not exactly, but more or less the position of the Revised Version. It's more or less the position of most modern versions of the scriptures. Dr. Barrett once made a comment to me about the New International Version of the Bible. There are various very attractive features of that version. One is that it reads so easily. But there are various dangers of it. One is that in the New Testament it follows the worst Greek text that it could follow, not the best. And the other is that, as he pointed out, there are various parts, especially of the Old Testament, where there are great difficulties of translation, where the authorized version gives you a translation and it lets you know there are difficulties here, and you're going to have to ponder and you're going to have to study and let the Holy Ghost show you from Scripture what he's meaning. Whereas the NIV and most of these modern translations simply give you one interpretation, and reading it you would never know there was anything else ever to be said.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.